namastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so... Okay, so atonement. So they're talking about here, therefore, what is charity? Who should get, who can get gifts? Right? You know, what is the proper way of giving gifts, but at the same time is charity that's performed at the detriment of his maintenance. That means they're suffering. That doesn't mean that, oh, if they're not living lavishly, then the family will complain. No, they're supposed to live after giving charity comfortably, right? In other words, they shouldn't be uncomfortable. So if they become uncomfortable by the charity, then that's not appropriate.
So yeah. We're talking 50% of the of what's left after...
Yeah, it means of what's profit.
Profit, yeah.
Right, yeah. So like that, that's... So that's like a recommendation. So if it's something less, but point is you should be giving something. Like that. Okay. And then, okay. Okay. Then they're talking here also then about, because it'll be, you have the element of maintenance if there's times of distress, but at the same time as... how you can maintain yourself, right, properly. So here is saying that appropriating profit for those who neglect religious duties. Mm-hmm. So he who has not eaten at the time of six meals may take at the time of the seventh meal food from a man who neglects his sacred duties, without, however, making a provision for the morrow. Mm. Right? In other words, he hasn't eaten for 3 days. So on the what do you call it? Let's say you're eating at noon and night, okay? So that means, so at the noon meal on the fourth day, then he can take it from, take something from anybody.
Yeah. anybody? Not a man who neglects his sacred duties?
I mean, if he means the point is he hasn't been able to get from anything else.
So if he hadn't gotten from this man, he would be neglecting his sacred duties.
It's more along the line of that he can just go and take something. You know, someone who wouldn't give charity, who would refuse to give charity or that, and he can't get any, then someone who is neglects his duties, right, therefore is sinful, if he goes and takes something from him, then it's not considered that. But he can't take extra. He can only take for then, right? He can't take extra. You know, I mean, like he goes into his field, just takes from his field or something like that. You wouldn't take from a righteous person, because a righteous person will use that in some kind of sacrifice or use it properly. But so the person who's not, then he could take.
Isn't it also that a righteous man would give him?
That would be there also, you know. On such a case, a kshatriya must never take the property of virtuous brahmana. But he who is starving may appropriate the possessions of a dasyu, or one who neglects his sacred duties. Right? So dasyu means any of the shankara, you know, that aren't performing anything. A dasyu is one living outside the regulations of varnashram duties. One who neglects his sacred duties refers to a neglectful dwija other than a brahman. But the point, if he's a dwija bandhu, he basically falls under the category of dasyu. So it means a practicing brahman. He would avoid like that. He who takes property from the wicked and bestows it on the virtuous transforms himself into a boat and carries both over the sea of misfortune. So by taking it from them and giving it to those who are virtuous, then he gets benefit. So it kind of appears, what's his name? Robin Hood wasn't doing so bad. The property of those who zealously offer sacrifices, the wise call the property of the gods. But the wealth of those who perform no sacrifices is called the property of the asuras. On him who, for reasons stated, appropriates another's possession, a righteous king shall not inflict punishment. For, in that case, a Brahmin pines with hunger, though through the kshatriya's wants of care. Right? So, in other words, it means for a Brahmin, if he goes and takes, or goes and takes like this, then, or at least in this position, a Brahmin, then if he gets caught at that and he's brought to the king, he won't be punished for that, because the point is why is a Brahmin going hungry in his kingdom? You know, it shouldn't be happening. You know, there's not that many of them. And the king should be either taking care of them, or he should be running his king nicely so that doesn't happen. You know, so such a thing happens, and that's having ascertained the number of those dependent on such a man, and having fully considered his learning and his conduct, right? So it's the same consideration for the Shudra. You know, what's his ability? His is his skill in that. And for him, it's his knowledge. The king shall allow him out of his own property a maintenance whereon he may live according to the law. So then the king, out of his own money, not out of the state money, out of his own money, he'll give him. Right? Does that make sense? So that's different than, okay, the state will take care. No, the king personally will take care.
Why? Why not the state? Why personally?
Because then the point is why is he not having facility? Mm. It's the king's fault. Yes. So why it should fall on the tax on the people?
But wouldn't
right? Because he has plenty anyway. So to take care of one Brahmin is not going to be a big deal.
No, of course.
Right. And so the point is technically how many of them should there be? There shouldn't be that many.
Zero.
Right. Because the point is the Brahmin doesn't want facility anyway, and as we mentioned before, the Brahmin as the last choice might go to a king to get money. Otherwise the Brahmin would also avoid taking money from the king.
So basically it's a much bigger problem in the kingdom as such that a Brahmin is going...
Yes, that's the point. In other words, there's overall administration is not going wrong, the sinfulness or something in the people, or that something's not going right, otherwise why is the Brahmins not having facility? Because the Brahmins aren't having facility, people aren't giving charity. So that means they don't have much, or their mentality's wrong. So how is that going on?
Yeah.
Right? So the king should personally take care, but he'll get the benefit. After having allotted him a maintenance, the king must protect him in every way, for he obtains from such a man whom he protects a sixth part of his spiritual merit. Right? So that's the tax. He gets the spiritual merit. The Brahmins never pay money, he gets spiritual merit. So if he protects, he gets a sixth of everybody's good qualities, you know. But he also gets, for the amount of tax, he gets the sin. Yeah, you understand.
Alright. You know, sometimes in the modern setting, you know, say the temple, for example, there is a...
That's a modern setting?
Contemporary situation.
Okay.
There is the devotional process that's going on, so the devotional safety is there, and then more often than not, the physical safety is there. But for your emotional and intellectual safety, then these are many times overlooked.
It just depends upon the community that it's functioning in. So, in other words, the temple comprises the local members of the local community. So generally it will be as good as the local community is. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes. But is it not his duty to,
Well, that's another thing. You're talking country because this is a temple, so it's also a Brahminical institution. But it should be there. But what I'm saying is that will depend upon the quality of those who are trained and everything. You know. But otherwise, if you're worried about that, then you can always adjust it so that there wouldn't be anything in the closer community than you have, a temple in one area that's orange and another one in another area that's green, and then the community spirit will be stronger and maybe there'll be more of them. That would work, or? Doesn't mean anything?
No.
Okay. You can ask him afterwards.
Oh, like that. Oh.
The main thing is just lack of training. Devotees don't know because they themselves haven't had the training that they understand the emotional platform. So they don't, much of the time, they don't even know it exists. They know people get emotional, but that's kind of something that gets in the way of getting things done. They don't actually understand. So if someone's been brought up in an environment where they have that, they can give it. But if you haven't, you don't know it's there. So basically, when you're considering the first generation, I wouldn't worry about it because it's going to be as good as whatever it is. So if it's an area where there is more of the community spirit, it'll be stronger. And if it's an area where it's not, it'll be weaker. Does that make sense? You know? So, yeah, that's all. So then you, whatever it is that you find is there, then you find a community that you can relate to more, and then, reside there, because you're dealing with conditioning. So the philosophy will be the same, the spiritual practices, so all those offerings will be the same. But that nimittic element will be according to the nature of the local area. Does that make sense? Like that. I mean, as you go in time, there'll be more of a, but that's why the Vedic culture is recommended. But devotees generally look at it as, economically it may not be practical, or social prestige on certain levels isn't practical. And so they don't understand is that the whole emotional and everything else that they're looking for, why they want the prestige, why they want this, why they want the money, is actually the system offers that. Because money is only a facility. Prestige is only a facility. But what you want from it is that people will reciprocate and this and that. Does that make sense? So that's a discussion of just lack of training. That's all. So it's not. But that's the thing, is the spiritual is quite strong. So the nice thing about devotional service is even if everything else doesn't work, you can still go back to Godhead. In other words, the Vedic system just makes it easier. But even if one doesn't use it, one can still go back to Godhead if you remember Krishna. Yeah, it'll just be more of a bumpy ride, that's all. You could probably open a ride at one of the theme parks,
The Western ride.
Yeah, the Western ride. Really scary.
Modern life.
Modern life, yeah. Yeah, you can put all the different things you go through. There's all the different things. That might be an interesting one, yeah. Okay. A Brahmin shall never beg from a Shudra property for a sacrifice. For a sacrificer, having begged it from such a man, after death is born again as a chandala. A Brahmin who, having begged any property for sacrifice, does not use the whole of it for that purpose, becomes for 100 years a vulture of the kind called basha, or crow. Wow, crows are considered vultures. Guess they're not the big vultures, they're just crows. That sinful man who through covetousness seizes the property of the gods or the property of Brahmins, feeds in another world on the leavings of vultures. So here you beg that don't use it, you become a crow. You know, you steal the property from such people in the temple, you get the remnants of those crows. Okay. Maybe that's why people don't like crows. Huh? Okay, performing secondary duties while neglecting primary duties. But a twice born who, without being in distress, performs his duties according to the law for times of distress, obtains no reward for them in the next world. That is the opinion of the sages. Right? So in other words, you could do your brahminical activity, but you still do something else. You're still doing business or this or that, just because it's easy, makes good money and everything like that. But then you won't get the benefit for it. You know, it's not like you're performing your duties, you're getting benefit from having performed your prescribed duties. Right? Because the point is, you're supposed to do your duties. If you can't do your duties, then you do somebody else's duty. But when you can do it, you should do your own. Right? So even if you're doing someone else's duties and that's all that's available, you're getting benefit for that. But here it's saying that you get no benefit. Right? So you don't get any piety from proper performance of your duties because you're not doing your duties. By the Vishvadevas, by the Sadhyas, and by the great sages of the Brahmana caste, who are afraid of perishing in times of distress, a substitute was made for the principal rule. Right? So all these great personalities have understood that there'll be times of distress, so they've made substitutes for the rule. If we can't do this, then what's the next one? Can't do that, then the next. Can't do that, then next. So there's always a substitute. But you shouldn't move down in them if the higher is available. You know, so that's our point, is you're doing something for Krishna. If you have the opportunity to do something of better quality, you would do it. Why you would do the secondary? Oh, we always buy this. No, there's this new product out, it's much better. No, but we always buy the other one. You know, but it's not as good. No, but, you know, we've always bought that for Krishna. But that was all that's available before. Now this other one's there, it's better. You know what I'm saying? So one is careful. Right? That evil-minded man who, being able to fulfill the original law, lives according to the secondary rule, reaps no reward for that after death. Right? So one can say, well, that's for karma, but the point is Krishna won't be very pleased with it, because he's telling Arjuna better to do your duties than someone else's duties. Because you could say, well, he's a devotee now, so he's going to go live in the forest. No, it's for the proper performance of your duties to please Krishna. That's what Krishna likes.
Yeah, so this is basically happens because we get attached.
Yeah, you get attached to it, it's easy, you don't want to do the other, because the point is the higher the duties, the more trouble. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's an easier life. You know, because the point is if the Vaishya life was harder than the Brahmin life, why is there such a fight to follow the Brahminical culture? You understand? Because it's harder, because personally, there's more restriction, there's more, you know, like that. Well, the other is that you have to work hard to make money, but everything else, you just do whatever you like. You know what I'm saying? The Kshatriya is, you know, you have lots of facility, you have as much or more than the Vaishyas would have, but everything's regulated. Right? But still, it's in the area of prestige and power and all these things. So it still has something you can relate to. But it's regulated. But in the Brahmins, then you don't have either of those, then you have the regulation. So you don't have all the money, you don't have all the prestige. So then what's, you know?
What's left?
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are we doing okay here today? Because everyone's starting to look very sober. Yeah. Somebody's pet hamster died, or...
Maybe the weather.
You don't like the balmy British weather.
Who are you?
Oh, this is the reason you came here, to get away from this weather.
Yes, it's like... It's here too. You know.
Yeah, no. Well, because they kicked out the British but kept the culture, so it's bound to come at some point, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. means of passing through misfortune, right? Because why is there prayaschitta? Right? Why is there retribution? Because you've done something wrong. What are you doing wrong? Where would you go wrong? What are you doing? It means if someone's following the Vedic culture, I don't mean specifically. No, I didn't leave the Mahabharata over there. That wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Whatever I did, it wasn't
I wasn't
me.
Taking it. Okay. So, the meaning here is someone's performing their prescribed duties. Neglecting their duties causes reactions. So therefore, prayaschitta is for correcting not the, the improper performance of your duties. Right? So in other words, if there's times of distress, you're adjusting your duties, so you want to make sure that you're also doing that properly. Right? So all these things are considered. So a kshatriya shall pass through misfortunes which have befallen him by the strength of his arms, a vaishya and shudra by their wealth, the chief of the twice-born by muttered prayers and burnt oblations. Right? In other words, he'll just chant Hare Krishna. Right? The Brahman is declared to be the creator of the world, the punisher, the teacher, and hence a benefactor of all created beings. To him let no man say anything unpropitious or use any harsh words. Sacrifice. Okay. Neither a girl, nor a married young woman, nor a man of little learning, nor a fool, nor a man in great suffering, nor one uninitiated shall offer an Agnihotra. For such persons offering a burnt oblation sink into hell, as well as he whom that Agnihotra belongs. Hence the person who sacrifices for another must be skilled in the performance of the rites and know the whole Veda. You don't just get anybody to be your priest. At the same time is that the persons like this aren't supposed to be having yajnas done where someone else is the priest either. Right? It means, why would a girl be doing? She's staying under her father. Why would she be doing separately? You understand? You know, a fool, what is he going to do? Right? The man a little learning, why would he be doing? Right? But specifically means that they don't offer them meaning either as the priest or as someone who's doing, so they should be properly, like if you man in great suffering, he's not going to pay attention at that time, he's not going to put in the energy to get everything arrayed. So when everything's all right, his health is all right, everything, then that's when he does the sacrifice, right? The man of little learning should learn something, right? He's supposed to be training himself anyway, right? For such,
it specifies married young woman.
Because a young woman, she would be doing with her husband, right? The husband would be performing it, right? So older, and then she arranges, but then she'll generally be there, you know, the sons are there, something's there, some arrangement, and so then she may be organizing because she's kind of more of the head of the house, like that. Then you might have that, but you know. But here is also young, as she's not arranged things yet, she's already... She's absorbed in organizing the house, getting things, getting facilities, establishing. So then it's also not quite the right time.
Anyatra is what it is?
Anutra?
Anyatra.
Agnihotra.
Agnihotra means fire sacrifice. Agni is fire and hotra is like, so Agnihotra means a fire yajna.
Means it's the Brahmins do that every day?
Means these persons wouldn't be doing it themselves.
Yes.
And generally they wouldn't be getting someone else to do it.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because it means unless it's your duty, then you wouldn't be doing it every day anyway.
Yes.
So it would be on the occasion you would be doing. Is that
okay. But this can be done for what type of... there is a big thing like initiation marriage, but other small
but things? So someone who does... See, like a person who doesn't know what he's doing shouldn't be the one doing the yajna.
Of course.
right? Or a fool shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I don't quite catch the question.
I'm just curious to know if this sacrifice is doing on a daily basis, or it's...
But is it his duty to do it on a daily basis? Right? Brahmins are doing yajna on a daily basis. Kshatriyas should be, Vaishyas should be, if they're doing or not. But the point is who can do would do this. But it's also you have the occasional yajnas. And that, this is, this just means yajna in general. Whether it's the daily, whether it's a special one, whether it's anything like that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? See, there's so much restriction. One may say it's unfair, but these are the qualifications, because otherwise they won't do it properly. They won't put in the effort. They won't know what to do. So it's very technical. So that's why the chanting Hare Krishna and these things are so perfect, is that anybody, whoever's not qualified to do other things, everybody can chant. So that's the perfection of it. Is that something?
Yes.
Right. Hence, the person who sacrifices for another must be skilled in the performance and know the whole Veda. Right? To know the whole Veda means indicates knowing the purpose of the Veda. So in other words, they don't have the skill to do it, they don't know actually the philosophy, they shouldn't be a priest. Right? Just because he can figure out which end of the Ajman spoon to hold on to and the other guy can't, so therefore it looks like it's better, it's not proper. Right? So in other words, the temple doesn't just start doing these things just because it'll impress the Hindus and make some money. Because then everybody gets problem for it.
So this is not relative, it's not about just getting the best people that are around, it's actually, there is an absolute standard.
There is a standard, yeah. That's what I'm saying. There is a standard, and then within the standard, then you get those who are qualified. You know.
Maharaj, knowing the purpose of Vedas means those who are studying Srimad Bhagavatam or Gita.
Means like that. They know it means. In other words, they either have a very, you know, means it would have a layer of meanings that they understand what the purpose is in the way of why they're doing the yajnas and this and that. That would be the minimum. Mm-hmm. Right? But then better than that is someone who, so then it also indicates they should be Vaishnavas. Because mm-hmm. otherwise proper smarta could do it, he knows it. How it's for, he knows that this does this, he does that, he knows the whole data, he's member like that, but that's not as good a standard as a Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. Is that something? Yeah. One must avoid offering a miserly dakshin for sacrificial rites. A Brahmin who, though wealthy, does not give as fee for the performance of an agnadeya, a horse sacred to Prajapati, becomes equal to one who has not kindled the fires. Yeah. In other words, whatever is the appropriate dakshin, that should be given. Mm. Otherwise, you don't get any benefit for it. Like that. No, because the whole point is the full benefit of that yajna, properly performed, you know, the qualified priest goes to the priest. You want it, you have to give him an appropriate dakshin. Right, so that's been discussed before, on how you give charity and that, and who's qualified and all those kind of things. So, therefore, the more qualified, the more qualified, the more technical, that means it's bigger. You know, if you don't want to give the appropriate dakshin, better you don't even do the yajna. You'll get more benefit by not doing the yajna than by doing it wrongly or by doing it and not giving a proper dakshin. Right, if unqualified people perform the yajna and you give, a miserly dakshin, it's worse than if you had not done it. Right? Because the point, because Brahmins, this one is this how they live, so you have to give proper charity. Right? Does that make sense? So that's all.
There is a guidance for that?
Guidance for me?
For giving how much according to the level of wealth of people, there is a guidance? There is a recommendation?
Um, means it should be something that's serious. But you have to see what, you know, I mean, what socially, what functions in that. You know, it's in other words, how much you appreciate and this and that. Like I mentioned once before, I went to this, you know, quite wealthy house. You know, I think they gave me, you know, $20 or something for the whole program. I think I went, did a program at the temple president's house, and he gave me 28.
You know,
yeah, on a, whatever it is, on a, you know, ISKCON, you know, made out to ISKCON on a check. I didn't know you could make checks for so small. I thought there was a limit, you know, what you could do with that. And then, but I went to one devotee's house. You know, this is all in the same city within a couple of days. And then we went to one house that, you know, as we're going along, the neighborhood starts getting rougher and rougher, and the guys are, you know, having less and less sleeves and more tattoos and, you know, like that. And, you know, all the cars are, you know, have been all pimped and everything like that. And so, you know, you start to get, well, okay, you know, so you go there, you go to this place, and, you know, it's a little place, there's not much furniture and anything like that. And, but, you know, he has a nice program. He invites over whatever friends he has. He does prasad, whatever he arranges. He gives $100. You know what I'm saying? So it should be something you feel is, has. So in other words, he has a value of it. So he'll get the full benefit. The other ones, it's just you're kind of doing something. It doesn't mean anything. So they won't get much benefit. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's according to the situation. Like that. So you can't say, you go to some people's houses, they give you more. Some people, you know what I'm saying? If we had gone to that devotee's house and he had given $20, then I would have thought, you know, okay, now he's the guy who can give $20. You know, not these others. But he's the one that gave 100. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's, in other words, you have to see what's the mood, how much you value, how much the other things is just kind of a social thing. You have the family, okay, sadhu's in town, invite him over, we feed him and that, and, you know, and kick him out, right? You know, it's that kind of thing. So, you know, we fed you, we benefited you, now we've done then the pious people, and you can go home, you know, that kind of stuff. But. Right? In other words, culture is something serious, because we don't take, then that brings rise to Prabhu's question, is that in sometimes in the community of devotees, there's not so much emotional support and other kinds of things. That's just because they don't know. So the problem is that the culture is somehow or another not trained or learned, so they don't know, so they can't give it to the next, they can't deal with others in that way. So these are just symptoms of the lack of training, like that. But the point is the main thing is chanting. Right, not being trained in culture. So if they're chanting, serving Krishna, associating with devotees, then everything will move up. But the thing is then at some point there is the dealings with, you know, practical life. So the dealing with practical life is more than just money or efficiency to get something done. It's actually relationships. Otherwise, why are you getting money or getting things efficiently done unless it can be applied in relationships? Does that make sense? So that's not known, right? People are led to believe if you have money and facility, you'll be happy. Because that's what they say. You know, you have the billboard there and everybody's smiling. So that's that. What is that? What do you think? If I have that, I'll be happy. Right? Why is a person smiling on the billboard? Does he have the car? No. They give him $1,000. That's why he's smiling. You know, if I told you, stand over here, we'll take a picture and I'll give you $1,000, would you smile? Yeah, you smile really good. Yeah, so that, therefore, you understand? So that's the point. That's why they're smiling. Right? So it's got nothing to do with, you know, we take it that, you know, that's what would be your, how do you say, fallacious, we're taking it, he is connected to the car, and he's happy, so therefore the car is the car. In other words, the car is the middle term, yes. Right, you know, like that is that. But it's not, the car has nothing to do with him, you know.
Smoking
marks. In other words, you pay money, but this guy got money, yeah. That's why he's smiling. Yeah.
He's smiling because you pay money.
Yeah, right. No, because like, that's when you see the guy there and it's, you know, how you say, you know, Sam's Hardware and you got Sam there. He's smiling because he's hoping you're going to give him money, you know, like that. That's another thing.
Okay. We went to Durgapur, right, with some devotees, very brief, and they treat us like gods, and I've never received such a treatment. And if you saw the facilities there, they were so poor, they hardly have a place to sit there.
Yeah.
They might sit in the king-size bed, they put a special quilt there, they took us pictures, and they treat us very nice, and
yeah.
It was a good preaching, actually, and very touching, and you can see the people so simple. Very hardly have a cent in their pocket, but they gave the best that they could, you know. Yeah. So I understand.
That's the Vedic culture. So those who came to India in the 70s have been seeing that and living with that for the last 30, 40 years, right? And so that's what we're trying to convince devotees is what you're looking for. But the devotees are so convinced that they're going to find it in the modern, you know, ideas that they read on the internet, you know, like that. And it's not happening. Because you can see the difference between those people and anybody else. The relationships they have and anybody else. So it's because of the culture, like that. And so if someone's had some means, you'll get it here and there. You know what I'm saying? In Asia, it's more prominent. They'll do a similar kind of thing. They just may not have the same standards of cleanliness or what they're offering you or something like that, you know? So that kind of thing. It may be the facilities may be more tamasic, but the mood is similar, like that. You go to the Middle East, it's still a little bit like that. Parts of Africa like that in the traditional. Your Central South America will be something like that, you know, like that. Europe and the older things is like that, but a little more formal. It's not quite as, you know, emotionally flowing. But, you know, there's something there that they had. They had the other day, we went to somebody's house. He was, I don't know how old he was, like 70 or something. And I think he was a lawyer, like that. Went to his house and he had gotten some medal for something, and he was wearing the medal, you know, very formal. He had a suit on like that, and, you know, we were coming to his house. He actually arranged, because you have to have permission from the housing committee, you know, it means of their buildings there. He had the national flag raised. They all have their flag. He had the flag raised because I was coming. You know, and stuff like that. So he had a similar kind of thing. You come there and there's some special, like, unique drink in that season of, you know, some kind of berries that you find out there. You know, you got to fight the reindeer for them, you know, like that, and stuff like that, you know. And so then, you know, they make a special, like that. So he'd arrange all these things as you're coming. So it doesn't have that same, you know, closeness that you'll find in the Vedic kind of thing. But it's a similar thing, just done in that it's formal according to, you know, how the, you know, that old school in Europe would do, like that. And then you also might find the lower, the lower the social strata, sometimes the more you'll find it, you know, like that. Everything else that they call the natural bourgeois Western culture, it's like, it doesn't exist. They've never seen it, never heard of it. And so when you talk about it, it's like talking about, you know, the best thing you've ever come across is this special kind of flying blue cheese that's, you know, from, you know, Mars. It's kind of like, okay, yeah. It just makes no sense to them.
Very important.
Yes.
When we were in Bangladesh last year, it was similar.
Yeah, it means everybody who's seen, generally, in other words, anybody who's seen this and thus like that, they generally tend to live more as expats.
Okay. You know.
And then, but, you know, like that. Okay. Point is culture is, see, devotees have philosophy. Now, applying that philosophy in their life is sometimes the shortcoming. But that's only because of the lack of the culture. But what they're complaining about is the lack of culture. But they don't know. But they have an alternative you know, okay, not this will do that, or this will do that, oh, that didn't work, we'll try this. You know, we're unhappy because my dog's not liberated, you know, like that, you know, dog's rights, you know, something, yeah, something we have to figure out, like that, you know, march on Washington, you know, for dog's rights, you know, like that. You know, they can bark anytime they like, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? So somehow, if you do that, then the world will be a perfect place and happy and everybody will be. But in reality, it's not. All these things never were. So that's the difficulty. What is being offered? You have to understand what it is. Because why it's, it means, well, let's say we read something and it seems to be quite strong in one area. But that's strong to us. Mm. But the other person who's on the other side of it go, yeah, that's right. Mm. You understand? That's why it's there. Because if you do something wrong, it has a problem here. You give a miserly doctrine, then the Brahmin is thinking, why did I even come here? Mm. I could have stayed at home and, you know, done my puja or chanted or something. Why should I come here and be insulted by this person, do all this work, and he doesn't even have enough culture or enough knowledge or enough, you know, character to appreciate actually what has been done. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, when to say, well, that's possible, you know, okay, so then, you know, let's give, you know, $5 for the Picasso painting. You know? No, no, but that's, you know, why? Because people value it, right? But if I took the same painting and took it down, you know, went into some gully somewhere, into somebody's house, and I could go door to door, it says, hey, would you like to buy this painting? All right, those guys look weird, you know? What's wrong with that lady's head? You know, that's what they're going to say, you know? You take it down to Sotheby's and they're all sitting there, you know, putting their hands up, you know, little numbers up for, you know, so much million, so much more million.
Calling Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah, of course, you know, like that. It's actually the guy sitting over there.
Yeah.
Like that, you know? Does that make sense? So that's the problem is means the only thing lacking in people's life is Krishna consciousness. But the problem is they think the namitic activities are equally as valuable. But the problem is the namitic values that they're trying to use aren't of much value. So they're not getting anything from it. Mm-hmm. So why did they come to Krishna consciousness? They lived that lifestyle and were frustrated. Now they've come to Krishna consciousness, now they demand to live that lifestyle, but that's the one that brought you here in the first place. Why would you be so attached to that? You know what I'm saying? So here's something that's recommended. It's worked. It goes on. They'll say, oh, but that doesn't exist anymore. You can find everything that's talking about here going on today. Just like you said, you just went to Durga Puri. It's going on today. It's getting less and less, but in India, less means, you know, hundreds of millions rather than billions. That's what it means. That's what it means. You know? Basically, if you are invited to anybody's house, there's more people in India that would give you that kind of treatment than there are people in any country of the world other than India. Right? Unless you go to China, you get the same treatment. So that means basically 2 billion people, one third of the planet, would deal like that. Right? And then if you throw in, you know, Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, you get the same treatment. So right there, it's over half the planet would do like that. And then we have the, how you say, the chutzpah to say, oh, it's all dead. You know, it's been dead in our family lines, but it's not dead on the planet.
As it said, if you want the gas to leave, you don't feed it.
Right.
So it's kind of along the same lines, right? You get like miserly.
Yeah, then they don't come back. You don't want to spoil them. As if it's my business to see they don't get spoiled. And what's to keep you from getting spoiled from being miserly? Mm. You know, that's the. It's just a trick for miserliness. Yes.
Because in the West we think that civilization and technology is synonymous.
Yeah, it means we're civilized, and you know all these how you say savages of the world. Even though much of what they had was way more developed than anything that that you know Europe has ever had. That means weaponry. You must admit the Europeans, they did that well.
Yes.
One has to admit that. You know, I mean the Chinese had gunpowder for a long time. And all it was good for was making fireworks like that. But somehow the Westerners got it and they turned it into weaponry like that. Yeah, you know, so that way you can say. So the mechanical side and the things. But in other things, it's not necessarily very developed. Culturally, the arts, so many other things were not as developed as all the civilizations of the world. That they basically kind of sidelined. Yeah. Yeah.
When you give an explanation like that, it brings out very clearly the destructive mentality of the European culture.
Yeah, yeah. Because the point is they go in, they just destroy everything. Even amongst themselves, they're destructive. Yeah. If someone has a better place than you, they just go and they win and then they destroy it rather than take it over. It's yours. Live in it. You know why? I mean, it's a nice place. Why destroy it?
Because it reminds them that the other guy was more successful.
Yeah, that's it. There's just tons of stuff.
It's just
ignorance. It's just
Schadenfreude.
Yeah. The point is, let's say, go to South America, right? Now, if you look at it, you have these little places, and Europe's not that big.
No.
You know, if you really look at it, you know. Don't look at it too carefully, but if you really look at it, it's not that big. But they went all over the world, right? They became rich. Why? Because those other places were rich.
Yeah.
So how did they become rich? So there's something to do with the civilization and what they were doing produced wealth. But it's thinking, no, but they're uncivilized. So, you know, you destroy the culture, take the wealth, and then, you know, it takes them a while to kind of like make the adjustment. But once they adjust, then they generally do better than the Europeans, unfortunately, for the Europeans.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just the thing, you know, it may take them 1,000 years to adjust, but once they do, they're better at it. Right. Because in other words, to adjust to it, you have to drop the culture. Personal dealings, that, and that's the thing that they generally don't want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, definition of sins. Killing a Brahmin. Okay, let him who has faith and controls his senses perform other meritorious acts. Right? In other words, you have faith and control your senses, do other things that are good. But let him on no account offer sacrifices at which he gives smaller fees than those prescribed. Right? Mm-hmm. Prescribed means according to their position, according to what work is done. Mm-hmm. The organs of sense and action honor. The organs of sense and action. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Honor, bliss in heaven, longevity, fame, offspring, and cattle are destroyed by sacrifice, which two small sacrificial fees are given. Hence a man of small means should not offer a sacrifice. Right? So that's why it's special in the Kali Yuga, because here you have a sacrifice that everybody can do. Right? Does that make sense? Before, to be to do those big yajnas and that, then, you know, the demigods would come and say, you had to be pretty wealthy to do that. It means, really, you had to be very wealthy. And then the deity worship and that also is very big, you know. But in Kali Yuga, anybody can chant. That's what's so perfect about it. But the point is because we're devotees doesn't mean the rules don't apply. I'm a devotee, so I can close my eyes and walk straight out into traffic and I won't get run over because I'm a devotee. I chant Hare Krishna, right? Isn't it?
You can try, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, but the point is that's what they're saying. So we don't have to follow any social rules because we're devotees. So that means, yes, spiritually you'll develop, you know, your philosophy, but as far as the lifestyle goes, it will be bad. Hence his question. Like that. So that's the point, is that this is how the material world works. You want it to be more pleasant? You follow these rules. You don't care if it's pleasant, don't follow them, hey, but don't complain.
But that Krishna will appreciate if he's not following
this. If he doesn't know, then it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody comes a devotee somewhere and they don't know about these things, then they're just enthusiastic to serve. But they'll also be very nice and interact, though they do fight a lot and stuff like that. It's just neophytes do that. But the point is, but nobody will be really disturbed by it.
Mm.
you know. It's just part of the scene, because that's what they do anyway. You know, so it'll be nice. But once you develop more sophisticated, have the thing of being able to learn and all that, then these things are there. But then if we demand that we will not learn them, you know. In other words, philosophically, and, you know, I will stay, you know, as simple as possible. My personal lifestyle is getting more and more sophisticated. But that doesn't match. Your lifestyle sophisticated, then you should be able to apply the philosophy to that sophisticated lifestyle. So your understanding must be more sophisticated. How you deal with culture must be more sophisticated. It must match. You know what I'm saying? The guy has on, you know, how you say, you know, how you say, you know, dress shoes, you know, how you say the you know, the dress pants and all that, and then he's gone on a sleeveless t-shirt. Just doesn't work. Does that make sense? You know, it has to match, right? But if you had a pair of shorts on and he had the t-shirt, you'd think, hey, it's fine.
Surf's up.
Yeah. Right. I would have said it the other way, but then that's how most, you know, these, you know, big, you know, directors and other, you know, avant-garde people, they all dress like that. You got the suit and then tennis shoes.
Yeah.
You know, like that. You just have to do something, right? You know, like that. So that's why I didn't mention the other way. But then unless you're those kind of people, you can't pull it off anyway, so it will look stupid. Like if you went to the board meeting like that, unless you were the richest guy there, then it wouldn't work. You know? If you're the chairman and you own the company, hey, do what you like. But if you're not, then... Okay, definitions of sins. Killing a Brahmin, drinking this spirituous liquor called sura, stealing the gold of a Brahmin, adultery with the guru's wife, and associating with such offenders, they declare to be mortal sins, mahapaka. Mahapataka.
Adultery with the guru's wife, that's mentioned elsewhere, like defiling the guru's bed.
Yeah, it's all the same kind of thing. It's just whether they're being more direct or more indirect.
Probably.
Yeah, like that. 54, 50, 93.
Sorry about the double sentence.
Yeah, I get confused. Okay, 95. Sins equal to the five mortal sins. This is the fun part. These, of the soul section, this is the best part. Falsely attributing to oneself high birth. Giving information to the king regarding a crime. And falsely accusing one's teacher are offenses equal to slaying a Brahmin.
Giving information to the king regarding a crime?
Means... it wasn't necessary, no one's asking, and you, in other words, being an informant, because then you destroy someone's either position or facilities or that, so you get the same reaction. That's why it's not recommended to be an informant.
Snitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Riti. Mm-hmm. Giving information to the king regarding crime proves that that's what result in someone's death.
Yeah,
right? So it's as equal to. Mm-hmm. Means because you weren't asked.
No.
Other offenses equal to killing a Brahmin are mentioned in later verses, right? In other words, this is a big one, right? Mm. For destroying the embryo of a Brahmin, the sex of which was unknown. For slaying a Kshatriya or a Vaishya who are engaged in or having offered a Vedic sacrifice. Or a Brahmin woman who has bathed after temporary uncleanliness, Atreyi. He must perform the same penance. Does that all make sense?
Thanks.
It means the woman is unclean for 3 days. On the fourth day when she takes a bath, then she's Atreyi. Mm. So if a woman is killed at that time, then it's equal to killing a Brahmin. Because that's when the consciousness is the best, everything, so you get the equal reaction.
Embryo, which...
An abortion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you kill a Brahmin or you kill an embryo, like is the same thing.
Yeah, but is it significant that the sex which is unknown?
Because this is in other words, these are, means this is the section on prayaschitta, right? So you don't know, so therefore there's a possibility of atoning for it. you do know it's not possible to atone.
Oh,
right. In other words, so in other words, by you weren't meaning to, a Brahmin was killed, you can atone for that. You meant to kill the Brahmin, there is no atonement. It's just, it's not dealt with, you know. You can go on, you know, rotting wherever it is until, you know, Brahma's end of his life. It's just not going to, you know, in other words, you better start chanting Hare Krishna very soon, otherwise there's nothing. Okay, likewise for giving false evidence in an important case, right, because then somebody gets in trouble. For passionately abusing the teacher, for stealing a deposit, and for killing his wife or his friend.
Passionately. I like that. I like that, passionately abusing the teacher.
Right. So in other words, speaking badly and this and that, you know, in a meeting, standing up, yelling and screaming, may sound all good, but it's equal to killing a Brahmin. Mm-hmm. Giving false evidence, that which will result in death or defamation of Brahmins. Okay, because by giving the false information, it falls badly on them. Okay, forgetting the Veda, reviling the Vedas. Right? Forgetting the Veda means you knew, but you forgot about it. You're not really worried. Reviling means speaking against the Vedas. Giving false evidence, slaying a friend, eating forbidden food, or swallowing substances unfit for food are six offenses equal to drinking sura. So that's equal to intoxication. So you say no intoxication means you have to give these up also.
So that's a mortal sin.
Yeah. Equal to. Stealing a deposit or men, a horse and silver, land, diamonds, and other gems is declared to be equal to stealing the gold of a Brahmin. Right? So, put all the men that you've stolen back.
Yes.
So does that, so then one would wonder if this is, you know, when it comes to horse, does this mean Grand Theft Auto or something?
Yeah.
Carnal intercourse with sisters by the same mother, with unmarried maidens, with females of the lowest caste, with wives of a friend or of a son, they declare to be equal to the violation of a guru's bed. So all those are equal to that. Secondary sins. Slaying kine, sacrificing for those who are unworthy to sacrifice, adultery, selling oneself, casting off one's teacher, mother, father, or son, giving up the daily study of the Veda, and neglecting the sacred domestic fire. Defiling a damsel, usury, you know, money lending. Breaking a vow, selling a tank, a garden, one's wife or child.
Selling a tank?
A tank? Yeah, that means like a pond. It doesn't mean like, you know, one of those nice Russian thingies with the treads on it. Vriti, defiling a damsel means intimately touching an unmarried girl. Selling a tank or garden are sinful as they are property that is public or may be inconvenienced or may inconvenience dependents by a degradation of culture. Usury in the sense of lending money at exorbitant rates or interest is forbidden for all and at acceptable rates to be practiced only by Vaishyas. Living as a Vraitya.
The sacred domestic fire. Is that your own personal jagya?
Yeah, it means because generally speaking, when the Brahmin he gets married, that fire he maintains in the house and does the daily yajna. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So devotees are very happy to be on the Brahminical platform, but not to do any of those duties. So, and then they say, oh, there's so many rules. No, there's not so many rules. Try doing the daily yajna. That's rules. Right? And it's supposed to be kept going. You can't let it go out. So you have to really take care of it.
In some of the temples, they're still using the same flame 400 or 500 years later.
Yeah.
Even, I think, I saw something about outcasts who were doing like a sacrifice for like cremation and had the same fire going for hundreds of years.
Oh, could be. Maybe it's down to Burning God. Maybe. Yeah. But it's probably, it was some kind of sacred fire. So then,
Because same family line for so many generations.
Yeah, cool. Fun.
Keeps.
Living as a Vraitya, casting off a relative, teaching the Vedas for wages, learning the Veda from a paid teacher, and selling goods which one ought not to sell. Right. Living is the vratya means apostate. In other words, one who gives up his religious duties. Executing great mechanical works, injuring living plants, subsisting on earnings of one's wife, sorcery by means of sacrifice, and working magic by means of roots and so forth. Right? It means executing great mechanical works is ugra karma. You know, like these, you know, you have these big mines and that. You know, they have trucks that are basically almost as big as this building. I mean, they're huge. You know, the thing that's ugra karma, right? You know, it's not supposed to be that big. You know, get a few more people out there. You know, carry things around on their head. That's okay. Cutting down green trees for firewood, right? Because it's supposed to be in forests, you just take the dead branches, or old trees, but not young trees. Doing acts for one's own advantage only, eating prohibited food, neglecting to kindle the sacred fires, theft, not payment of the three debts, studying bad books. Vritti, the three debts and their mode of payment are as follows. The debt of the gods is repaid through sacrifice, to the sages by study of the scriptures, and mankind through feeding brahmanas. Earlier it was stated, teaching and study is the sacrifice offered to Brahman, the burnt oblation of the sacrifice to the gods, and the hospitable reception of guests, the offering to men. So that's where teaching and studying is the best, because that's also the, so it's the occupation of basically a Brahman. So that's why for Brahmins that's considered the best. Stealing grain, base metals, or cattle, intercourse with women who drink spirituous liquor, and atheism are all secondary offenses. Right? So it's sinful to be an atheist.
Yeah.
Causing loss of caste, upapataka. So these are all secondary, which means loss of caste if you do any of those ones. Giving pain to a Brahmin by a blow, smelling at things which ought not to be smelt at, or at spirituous liquor, cheating and an unnatural offense with a man are declared to cause the loss of caste, gati bramsha. Okay. Killing a donkey, a horse, a camel, a deer, an elephant, a goat, a sheep, a fish, a snake, or a buffalo must be known to degrade the offender to a mixed caste. Accepting presents from blamed men, trading, serving shudras, and speaking a falsehood make the offender unworthy to receive guests, apatra. Vritti, trading is the occupation of Vaishyas who do not accept charity. Therefore, one who trades is unfit to receive guests. And apatra refers to one who is unfit to receive guests as an occupation.
Excuse me, Maharaj. They didn't mention the cow here, or the bull.
That's equal to killing a Brahmin.
A Brahmin. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's somewhere in there, isn't it?
Yeah. Because
that could move that up to that one also, that purport. I mean, that vritti that tells about the Brahmin. Yeah. Because, you know, people just don't kill cows. It doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? All these other things, they may kill them and eat them or something, but cows, they just don't kill any.
Just like I didn't mention killing your mother.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. 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 People just don't do it. No? We're talking humans. This is for humans. Does that make sense?
It's just that I didn't realize that it was included.
Oh, that'll come at some other point. But the point is, because it's not done, so you don't necessarily have to mention it's a general thing. But these are ones that people tend to kind of do. Right? Killing insects means, so this apatra, it means also is that, means you could drop, you could be someone who accepts gifts. You know, it means this a Brahmin, so you can accept gifts. But then if you take up the occupation of a Vaishya, then you drop to the position where you can't accept gifts. Because you're making money, so you're supposed to... Killing insects, small or large, or birds, eating anything kept close to spirituous liquors, stealing fruit, firewood or flowers are offenses which make one impure, malava. Okay. Learn now completely those penances by which all of the several offenses mentioned can be expiated. Right? So in other words, the ones that can't be expiated weren't mentioned.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.